I'd like to turn to three quite well-known scriptures. The first in Romans chapter 3. It's page 1351, if you're using a Bible like mine. Romans chapter 3, in just one verse, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then I'd like to turn to the book of Isaiah and chapter 53. Page 893 in my Bible. Isaiah 53. And beginning at verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And we did regard him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, but he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and was as a sheep dumb before her shearers, and he opened not his mouth. He was taken from oppression and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And men appointed his grave with the wicked, but he was with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there guile in his mouth. And just over the page, in just the latter half of verse 12, because he poured out his soul unto death, and was reckoned with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And just lastly, back in the book of Romans again, this time in chapter 8. Chapter 8, page 1359 in my Bible. Romans 8, and beginning at verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I was just thinking, preparing for this gospel preaching, as to why we preach the gospel. And the reason we preach it is because we would desire that all might find the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. You see, each and every one of us is a sinner. As we've read in this first scripture, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To sin is to disobey God. And to disobey God is to fall short of his divine standard of perfection. I was thinking of it as being a bit like an exam paper. We've all taken them at various times. And you know, it only takes one mark wrong to ruin the perfect score. It doesn't matter how many right answers you get after that or before it. It's no longer perfect. God's standard is perfect because he is a righteous and holy God. And he cannot have sin in his presence. Which, dear friend, would exclude you and me from his presence. Because we've all gone our own way. We've all done our own thing. We've all sought our own will over his own. And that meant that our rightful reward was death. Think of that scripture, for the wages of sin is death. Wages are something you earn. But the wonderful thing about that scripture is that it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. A gift is something we do not earn, it is something that is given. And what we were given by God was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus was the Son of God. He was born into this world in manhood's form. And while he walked here, he was absolutely perfect. He was the only one who absolutely exemplified God's standard. And he was the one who, as God said himself in Scripture, took delight in. He loved his Son. He loved him so very much. And yet he gave him as a gift for you and for me. What does that mean? Well, You see, our sin has to be answered. The only way it could be answered, save through what the Lord Jesus did, was for us to be blotted out, to be put out of existence completely, away from God's presence. But our God and Father provided in the Lord Jesus an alternative. He provided us his own Son, because the only other alternative was for a perfect one to take our punishment for us. I can't take the punishment for your sins, and you couldn't take the punishment for mine, because our own sins would consume us. No, it required one who was absolutely perfect. And there's only been one man who's ever walked on this earth who fulfilled that, and that was the Lord Jesus. In the Isaiah, we just get a touch of this, I think. It really amazes me every time I read this scripture. It's our griefs. It's our sorrows. It's our transgressions and our iniquities. It's the chastisement of our peace. And yet every single time it was laid on him. You see, if your sins are forgiven, it's not like the courts of this land where you might get away with something in court, but it could come back to bite you later. The Lord Jesus came to this earth, and he came to die for your sins and mine. He was the only one who never had to die, because he had not sinned. And yet he went into death for you and for me. Verse 12 here uses the word intercessor. If someone intercedes, they're not doing it to, I would speak carefully, benefit themselves. They're doing it to benefit someone else. And in this case, it was you and me. He went to the cross for you and me. He had nails hammered through his hands and through his feet. He accepted the scorn and revile of those around him. As it says here in scripture, he was led as a lamb to slaughter. Scripture tells us he could have called down 12 legions of angels. He could have executed the righteous judgment for our sins upon all those there, and each and every one of us. But if he had done so, we would have been lost for all eternity. Instead, he accepted it. And then, as he hung on the cross, there was the 3 hours of darkness. Blackness across the whole land. And in those 3 hours of darkness, a greater punishment than anything man could put on him was meted out. The punishment for our sins. I just love those 3 words he said at the end. It is finished. You see, the punishment for your sins and mine has been answered. If you have your faith and trust in him, there is none who could put you, for example, in a court, and they could lay those sins before you, but the Lord is the interceder and could simply answer, the punishment has been taken. And he did it, dear friend, because he loves you. He loves you more than anything else. And he wanted you to be free. And he wanted you to know how much he loved you. Scripture tells us there is no greater love than this, than to lay down a life for his friends. And dear friend, the gospel message is that he is calling you now. We were reading during the week that long sentence in Ephesians chapter 1. It covers 12 verses. And it's full of what God has done for us. But we're just noting that in amongst that, in all those wonderful things that it says he's done, forgiven us, redeemed us, there's 3 things that the people in Ephesus had to done. They had heard the word, they had trusted, and they had believed. And that's all God is seeking you to do tonight, dear friend. He is simply seeking you to believe in him and to trust him as your Saviour. And if you do, dear friend, you will belong to him. And you'll belong to him forever. We have in that final verse in Romans that most wonderful thing. I'll read it again. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you have your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, there is nothing that can separate you from him. Nothing of this world, nothing beyond this world. Nothing physical, nothing spiritual. No person, no force, no power that can ever separate you from him ever again. And that means, dear friend, quite simply, that you belong to him. And you can have the absolute certainty of knowing you will be with him for all eternity. Because the Lord didn't just stay in the grave when he died. After 3 days, he rose again. And he rose again, as we're told, he said, I go before you to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would not have told you. Scripture also tells us God cannot lie. That means, dear friend, if you belong to him, he's prepared a place for you. And if you put your faith and trust in him, he has prepared a place for you. He knows everything about you, you know. He knows every sin that you've committed, and he knows every sin that you are yet to commit, you have yet to commit. He knew all that 2,000 years ago. And yet he gave his son for you. The Lord Jesus died for you and took that punishment that you might be free. And he's just calling you now, calling you and longing that you might answer his call and accept him as your Saviour. And I can assure you, dear friend, that if you do so, you will never regret it. I've never met any believer in the Lord Jesus who has regretted putting their faith and trust in him. It is the most wonderful experience to be able to walk through life with the Lord at your side. I would implore you, if you've not already done so, to put your faith and trust in him tonight, now, before it is too late. It's not hard to do. He's readily available. It's not like a call center where sometimes you have to sit on the phone and wait for quite some time before someone answers. You don't have to worry about getting reception in order to do so. He is freely available. He's available right now. To speak to him, you don't even have to speak out loud. It could simply be inside you. And just simply ask him to forgive your sins. And to save you. There's many things in this world that we can be uncertain of. We might be uncertain about the right job. About what the next step in our lives are. About our health. But the one thing I can assure you that you can be absolutely certain of is if you ask him to forgive your sins, his answer will be an immediate yes. He's longing that you might do so. And his hand is stretched out to you today. I would just implore you, put your faith and trust in him before it is too late. For his name's sake. Amen.